sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Love it. Nice shot.
Pretty good accuracy for an ancient man like myself. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look, because we are lighthearted wired for these sorts of things. We look at scripture and science, and we look at issues of creation, evolution, how we got here, where we're going, and today we're talking about how we got here, maybe, well, or yeah, where Grandpa came from.
Well, where some people think Grandpa came from, because everywhere you go from, well, there was a predecessor. Everywhere in every line, there's always a genealogy, whether we like them or not, genealogies happen.
Ancestry.
If they
and all
didn't
that.
Happen, you wouldn't happen.
That's right. We all got coats of arms for a few bucks, and that's all where we came from. No, not that. Okay.
Well, okay.
We'll talk back a little further than that.
In actually, fact, what's been making the news a little bit lately in the scientific world for the last few years? There's another one that has come up. Another missing link.
Ooh, finally, we got this settled, do we?
Every missing link starts with a leap of fantasy.
Oh, there is a pattern here. And the most recent one that we want to talk about today on Sink the Beagle is finding the little lady of Flores.
Oh, where was she? Was she baking?
She was in Indonesia, just resting comfortably
Alzheimer's?
For about, well, about 18,000 years ago.
Oh, that long ago. That little lady.
And they dug her up, and she was a little lady.
Oh, a fossil find on the island of Flores in the Indonesian island chains, a little lady, and she was considered a hobbit.
Well, she's about 3 feet tall, and she had a very small head, and
her dad's name was Frodo.
No. Frodo! Yes, exactly right. The Hobbit Lady. And it was a sensational headline. And, of course, they said, here's yet another one of those missing links. This will start to fill in the picture.
And they started painting the pictures and putting them in the magazines and saying that little people were here and we actually have grown bigger.
Yes, can National Geographic be far behind or Nature or Science? Yeah, they weren't, were they?
They published, they printed, they helped send the more money there.
Yes.
But what happens usually, Stan, this is not the first time ancient fossil finds have been coming up and proclaiming this or proclaiming that, missing link this, missing link that.
Incidentally, why would it every time be the final puzzle piece if they had the puzzle built already? I mean, if the puzzle is done, why is every single find labeled as finally this settles it?
Oh.
Unless it's not settled.
Well, you know what happens if you settle it? No more money for it.
No more money, okay.
We've proven it. Okay, done. No sense digging that up anymore. Why waste money? Let's work on global hunger or something.
Well,
more useful.
You were suggesting a pattern, John, and that's exactly what we see here, because a sensational find makes it on the media, the news, and everything, and this is like the final thing. And then they actually study it.
And says, increasingly, the controversial conclusion is being questioned, that Hobbit question, as an article came out. There's a technical comment is published a few days later,
maybe in
some science magazine. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, this particular one was published by a scientist named Robert D. Martin, a PhD, Field Museum Provost, and he basically a world-class primatologist.
Okay.
Which a study of primates, and says the bones in question do not represent a new species at all, he says. There's no new species here.
Settle down, everybody.
No, chill out, relax. A far more likely explanation is the bones belong to a modern human who suffered from microcephaly.
Uh-huh.
A pathological condition that causes small brain size, often associated with short stature.
I find that line kind of funny. Associated with short stature, which is sort of another way of saying we think we know why they've got kind of a small brain. They're short.
They're short. We got a small person.
A small person here.
Oh, you mean it wasn't a full-grown adult?
No, a small person, and really that is the the science now behind this great study. It's a little person. Settle down. It's not a, you know, not a missing link. It's not one of the chains of evidence.
It's just someone
monkeys
small.
And people. It's a small person.
And it may have been disease. We don't even know that. But anyway, they want to say, well, there was a lack of resources on the island, and there was selective breeding, and there was this and that. And you know what you come up with? A small person, not a new species, maybe.
And, you know, this just illustrates it, John, and this is the pattern that we often see of these sensational discoveries, especially in the area of the evolution or so-called evolution of man from monkeys to humans. You know, Darwin did say, despite what sometimes his defenders say, to the contrary, he did say that man was descended from apes. He didn't say that in Origin of Species, but in his next book, Descent of Man, he did talk about how we were supposedly descended from the New World monkeys, or was it Old World monkeys, and that those were our ancestors. And, you know, that's our genealogy.
And
yeah,
since
that's
we have the
from.
Template, when you keep going back, yeah. sooner or later, you're going to yep. find little ladies of Flores, or what they used to think was Lucy, or somebody
yes.
else. You know, all these purported links in our chain of ultimate origin from nothing.
Well, into tree huggers or something, or at least tree climbers. And, you know, this is in all of our background. We supposedly evolved from apes.
Yeah, and when Darwin predicted this, there was such a urge to go and find these links that they began to do these fanciful crafting of them. And this mm-hmm. is nothing new. There was this whole idea of Piltdown Man,
right.
Which was basically known as a hoax at that time. I mean, it's one thing to find fossils and say it's this and be proven wrong.
Right.
In this case, here you had out-and-out fraud manufacturing a fossil.
Right, that's a little different.
That was a little different there from a guy named Wallace.
But the thing is, society was ready for it, and they wanted to believe it because that was their image of where we came from.
And it funded lots of money.
Yeah.
It funded lots of money and
yep.
sensationalism and partly Aryanism, too, because the Germans were finding Neanderthal at the same time,
right.
Showing that maybe primitive mm-hmm. man actually develops in Germany, and the British couldn't stand for that.
Well, you know, Neanderthal and skeletal remains of an ancient man found in the Neander Valley in Germany proved to be a caveman, and they developed this theory of Neanderthal being sort of a caveman-type guy. They found out that the first bones of this fellow was really a man who had arthritis, and that's why he was bent over a little bit. Other bones they found of Neanderthal walked as straight as anybody else and had actually larger brains than most people today.
Yeah, and probably ones that are more developed and more, used. Used.
You know, and he was simply another human, and that's what's going on there. There's not really even we didn't descend from Neanderthal.
No.
They
took it out of
scientists, even evolutionists don't believe that.
And so what you have basically is this sort of pattern we've been discussing where, and we always hint at, you know, in some of these cases you need to follow the dollar trails, because if you're not making finds and you're mm-hmm. not writing anything significant, which is entertaining in the least, you're not going to get organizations and foundations like National Geographic or the National Foundation of Science or whatever,
right.
supplying you grant dollars to sit around and dig in the dirt.
Yeah.
And that's where your money comes from. And from publishing, that's where your money comes from, because publishers want to sell stuff that's sensational. And so when you come up with something and you call it a hobbit, you know, based on kind of the Lord of the Rings fame that was just coming out at the same time.
It was hot.
What buzzard luck,
sure.
you know, to find something about that size that could make Frodo look like he's part of the chain.
Yeah,
you know?
Frodo great-grandpa. Instead.
Yeah, and so this is the kind of realm, and then what happens is the person who finds it makes the splash, it hits the papers, and then they do the research, and after the research is done, debunk time.
Debunk. And you know, when you look at the vast area of human evolution that right now that is being purported to be supposedly well established, if you really look at the data, it is very, very weak. And there is no area where more money, he's talking about money, John, has been put into the study of evolution than in the evolution of man. Grants all over the place, funding, you know, newspaper articles, fame, fortune, all of that for people that can please find evidence of human evolution. And when the story is all told, we got a whole bunch of hobbits.
A whole bunch of bad hobbits.
Bad hobbits. Yeah. And bad, bad
science.
Shall we say examples or bad candidates, that's what I'm looking for of ancestors.
You know, and when they couldn't find it in humans, paleontology has gone the other direction. We've mm-hmm. commented in the past on Other Sink the Beagles about the National Geographic having egg on their face, and they came yes. out with the bird dinosaur tail
right.
concocted fossil. You know, they first splashed. They were so quick
they
and
were
eager
certain.
To... splash yeah. it in the papers
this
and make the headlines
mm-hmm.
that then later science after they already published all the glossies and the book was already depressed, so to speak,
yep.
they come and say, no, that's a forgery.
It was a forgery.
And it just, again, follows the eagerness of a mentality and the eagerness of a worldview and a mindset that wants to exclude God, creation.
That's right.
From the picture.
That's right.
That wants to talk about genealogies that somehow do not involve supernatural things. And we have a torpedo text that we want to show at the end of every genealogy that's worth studying is the best one. If you want to go back and try to find your ancestral links, the best place to go is to somehow you'll find yourself in the book of Luke.
And before I read this Luke genealogy, I just want to make comment on one thing that Paul said to a bunch of scientist-oriented people in Athens, where he said that God has made of one blood the entire human race, so everybody shares the following genealogy at some point. And this is from Luke 3, verse 38. It says, and this is Jesus' genealogy, but yours and mine as well. Getting back to the very beginning, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God.
So when you're looking for ultimate genealogies and ultimate ancestry, you don't need to clamp on to the Little Lady of Flores as your great-great-great-great-great-bazillion great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You actually clamp on to a better genealogy which has
a
you
divine,
in mind,
a divine origin, yes, where God was happy to create us in His image, and He is pleased when we take Jesus' advice, when we address Him as Father. We
yes.
can call Him our Abba, our Papa,
our Father,
which art in heaven.
Yes.
And in many ways, we are to consider God as our great ancestor.
The irony is that the development of our life isn't over, because it says right now we are the children of God, yet we don't know what we're going to be.
Oh, boy.
In other words, that there was a problem. The Bible acknowledges there's a problem with our human genealogical development.
De-evolution.
Mm-hmm. And God's going to correct the DNA, and God's going to correct our form
Fix
one day.
The broken parts.
And recreate us. And they won't have to be putting together pieces of bones and trying to guess. There'll be no guesswork. We'll be known as we were known.
And the Bible, become what God wanted us. Jesus came to save what was lost, and lost was the image of God in man. It had been totally obscured by decades and centuries of sin. And individually, we can say that ourselves. I wonder, when I look in the mirror, can I see images of my Father in heaven in me? Do I look like my dad? I remember you had a lecture that you did on that subject. It included pictures of your dad and your son.
Yeah, and they were trying to, if my son went back, what would he find if he kept tracing it mm-hmm. back? Would he find Lizard Man? Would he find the Planet of the Apes Man?
Yeah.
Would he end up in some pond scum?
Yeah.
Would he end up in some pond scum and eventually into nothing?
Yeah.
Where something became nothing.
Well, that's something to celebrate, huh?
Or does he go back to a lineage which includes a intended creator and mm-hmm. a creation mm-hmm. worth living for? Mm-hmm. And that's the lineage we like to promote here, and that's the family photo, so to speak, that we'd like you to look through the photo album someday and
yes.
trace your genealogy back and know that you were not yeah. a random offspring of unintended choice.
That's right.
But you were... truly meant to be a son and daughter of God.
And you don't have to get excited when you see these newspaper articles coming out with new discoveries, sensational finds of the missing link. Give
Wait
it a little time. Just give it a little time. The science will probably debunk that in short order. Your genealogy is not part of that, but it's part of that found in Luke 3. We are children of God.
So tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile. From seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.